something that would bring him closer to the fact of having to go to the cross and do what he promised to do to the Father, for the Father. All them aeons ago, according to the prophets, sayings and so forth, it had come down through the ages. Do we get to where we got here as Martha had sent to Jesus to get him to come? And their thinking was a little different from Christ's thinking, because Christ's thinking, well, if I stay here, I can get him in the grave and get him out of the grave after 4 days. And their thinking was, well, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. So that was not the way that it was going to be, because the Jews continually gathered or tried to gather up stones to stone Jesus. And that was not the way it was said that he was going to lose his life. And so, therefore, there was a little battle going on between the two factions here. Of course, the women didn't want their brother to die. Well, Jesus didn't want him to die either, but that was the only way that it was going to work. And so, when they got to where they got, when Jesus gets to the grave, we've got him now here where Jesus went. And that's the shortest verse in the Bible, in verse 35 of John 11. So I'm going to go back to 34, and we'll start there. And we'll go on, because I've got my notes all the way to the end of the chapter, but I don't think we'll get that far. But we'll at least get him out of the grave, I think. So here we go. Verse 34 of John 11. And it says, and he said, of course, he was talking here to Martha. He said, where have you laid him? That was the question. Jesus had not been to the tomb yet. We had had a insertion in this chapter where, they kind of went over the situation of the tomb and how it was laid up. But now this, with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, this was a family burial plot for them. So there's no telling how long before they had been using this down through the years. We don't really know that, because that's not been given to us in any notes or scripture that I've read. But they had done what they normally do to a dead body. And wrapped it in swathing clothes, or the swaddling clothes or whatever, and bound him up, just like they bound up Jesus when they buried him off of the cross into the grave for 3 days. And when the grave was opened again, and they went to that grave, well, he wasn't there, but his clothes had been, that they had buried him in, was neatly stored away in the cloth that was over his face. And all was laid in one place. It was laid out in one place. So, when he had got up and had left and done what he was supposed to do. But then when he showed back up there, then his days were over, just like they said, as it would be in the days of Jonah, when that Jonah was in the fish 3 days, then Christ would be 3 days nights in the grave. And so you can see the kind of the way that they prepare people for burial in those times. And so that's important that we keep it in our mind as we go through this. And then it says in verse 35 that Jesus' humanity showed up. Because in his humanity, Jesus loved Lazarus and he loved Mary and Martha. But yet, he was God's man there at that time for that to take place. And so when that seed was placed into Mary, and she had him, and he'd been with them for 30 years, then there could have been a lot of things that would be common with them. And there was no doubt that they were friends, because Mary and Martha knew some, but now they didn't understand all of this either. But they knew he would be raised, that he'd be raised in the resurrection, but they didn't understand that that Lazarus was going to be the one that would be an out-resurrected one. And so that made all the difference in the world, and so this is part of what we're looking at. It said Jesus wept in 35 or shed tears. Dakru is the noun, and Dakru talks about the occurrence here. In 1 Thessalonians, is always translated by the plural, meaning tears. So it wasn't uncommon for people when they died, and still ain't, that some people cry. And so it was not uncommon, I don't think, for Jesus to cry, because certainly he was God's son, but he was also God's man for the purpose here. And a lot of times people can't see that thing can be carried over either one way or the other. Then we get to verse 36, and said, then said Jesus, behold, and he left him. Then said the Jews, I'm sorry, I keep saying that as Jesus for some thing in verse 36. Behold how he left him. And that again shows you that part of man that he got. He was yet God, but he was yet man. And he said, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? So the question was going around there by the folks, because when they were all going down to the grave, the crowd got bigger. And Mary and Martha had people with them. And I'm sure there were others there that were wanting to see what was going to happen here too. So it says, but some of them, the Jews said, "Is not this man which opened the eyes of the blind this one?" And that this one there in the Greek is Hogitos. Talking about the blind man of Matthew 8:27. "Now cometh that even this man should not," it should not there in the Greek is Romans 5:2, and it's like our me have died. So like Martha and Mary, they had the same type of understanding that, well, had Christ, had Jesus been there?
They knew what he had done, or was able to do. They knew what he was able to do.
They knew what he was able to do, but, you know, he was going to have to be present to do that. Well, no, he really could have done it without that. And we'll do other things. Because Jesus had already told Martha, said, "What you're going to see here now is going to be something that,
She just didn't know it was going to be exactly
different. So we get down to verse 38 and said, "Jesus therefore again groaned in himself coming to the grave," because coming to a grave for the Jews were not a thing that they wanted to do, because the dead, if they were really dead, you know, it was looked upon as being final. It, to them, resurrection was something brand new, basically.
Yeah.
It's being said here. It's something that they haven't got down yet in that sense. So Jesus, therefore, showing his love for Lazarus, again, groaned in himself, coming unto, the Greek word unto, the word E-C-I-S, coming to the grave, because that was out of his, that was really kind of out of the order of Christ at that point, because he had not given his life and blood yet. And so that was something a little different for Christ, because but he was still showing his man side of himself a little bit. And he says in verse 38, and it said, the rest of it said, "It was a cave and a stone lay upon it." So generally when you have a cave, it's something in a wall. You know, we think about that all the time, but it, you know, it could have, a cave sometimes begins straight down and then makes a turn somewhere. But it said it was a cave, either natural or artificial. And it didn't make any difference where it was natural or artificial, if it was some place that they could make it for a grave, they certainly did it. And you can see evidently over there in that part of the world, they were a lot of caves, because when David was king, became king and was there for 40 years, he lived in the caves a lot. And, running from
Saul
Saul
trying to kill him.
Saul all the time, pastoring.
Yeah.
And, but see, but Saul's son and David was good friends. They had been good friends. And, but the grave there, you know, was in a wall and they rolled a stone against it. Well, here seems to be something near to the same thing because they seal it as best they can with something that's permanent or can be moved again and used again. Because these graves can be used over and over until the thing gets full of bones.
Technically, robbers a little bit too, grave robbers.
Yeah.
Get the robbers away.
Yeah, because lots of times people want to keep stuff in there. Okay. And 39 says this. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, his sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, now this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Well, everybody around there knew that he was dead. And the way the Jews looked at things is a little different from a lot of other people because it goes on to explain why here that, the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God, doesn't do what they thought the Spirit of God did. But yet they clung to the things that they had been told or had talked about here. So when Jesus said, take away the stone, then Martha, the sister of him, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh because he had been dead 4 days. And so you got notes in the companion Bible that says this along with that, that the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis taught that the Spirit of God wandered about for 3 days searching admission to the body. The Spirit of God is the second that that body dies, doesn't stay in that body anymore, but has what is needed for that body to be raised again if it has resurrection.
And that spirit can be placed in a new body.
That spirit can go and be put in another body because the Spirit of God, the Father God and the Son of God and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't deal with dead bodies other than make it approximately ready for a new life again in resurrection because this is something that was kind of out of the ordinary for them because this is what they had grown up with. And if you get something put into your brain over and over and over and over again.
Well, it's like the whole hell thing with people.
Yeah.
When you've heard that and believed that and had that preached to you all your life.
Yeah.
Then it's like it was when they took you to task over at Wolf State. You know, somebody comes along and questions that, the first thing they want to do is fight about it.
Yeah.
They're not going to let that go either.
No. Yeah. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but, you know, they have their own idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So verse 40, Jesus said unto her, Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God. He had already told Martha when he got there before he went to the grave, he said, you're going to see the glory of God.
Yep.
That's what he was there for.
Amen.
It's the reason he stayed back that extra day or day and a half, so that he would have been dead for 4 days. Yep. Well, the little stink is not going to change the Son of God.
It's just, or what he can do.
Or what he can do. No. And, but the thing was that it was all set up and done because there were people there that were going to believe. And so,
you know, he had already raised Peter's mother-in-law. And was it not Jairus' daughter that he raised as well before we get to, I might have it out of order, but I know he raised Peter's mother-in-law early. I wonder if Martha and Mary didn't understand that he could stand him right back up just like he
did. Well, they had not been dead for 4 days.
Yeah, that's true. That might have made the difference.
This is the first one. This is the stone.
Clearly said.
Stone foundation of resurrection. This is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I agree. That's a good point.
Yeah, because
the rest of them never said they'd been dead for 4 days.
They were some of them in the bed where they were getting them ready to put them in the grave too, but they hadn't been dead that long. Yeah. They were still there. And so this is brand new. This is the glory of God we're talking about here.
Yeah, amen.
In 40. And it says, let's see. This means, in essence, to be aware of any true comprehending the surroundings and the object presented to the eye. And to realize the change, to behold the difference, and to behold the difference is that 4 days had passed.
Yep.
Everybody there knew that the 4 days were up, even if they did believe the Spirit roamed around for 3 days, and that's 3 days they just give up.
He's done. Yeah.
It's okay. 41 and 42 goes together, basically. So we're down here now to where we have seen the foundation of resurrection being brought forth in a way that could not be denied if the people would just open their eyes. Because the glory of God is there.
Right.
And these people are there. And they're standing around outside this hole in the wall. And that's what we'll call it, because we don't know it to be anything but that. And they're going to see somebody that stinketh get up. Float out of that place. He's gonna come out of there hand and foot bound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 41 says this. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Okay. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Well, when he said that, because these people were there doubting, and if everybody there was a believer and believed, he wouldn't have had to have said that at all. But this was for the non-believers, because they were going to get to see the glory of God too, even though they may have not believed at the time. But they may walk away from their believing. So.
Yeah, but there's going to be some minds changed here pretty quick.
That is exactly why The son went back to the father and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. Because a lot of these words in the Greek, it ends with, oh, may I, is really getting permission. And the son had to go back to the father for permission that this be done, and it would be done so that these people might understand. So, again, I'm going to read 41 and 42 together. Then took away the stone from the grave place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, he talked back to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I thank thee that thou hast heard me, because he had went to the Father and said, thank you for making this possible. And I knew that thou heardest me always, full strength. So Jesus was talking to the Father and said, I know that thou hearest me always. He always has an ear for the Son. He never has let him down.
Yeah.
And that's a full stop, and we need to think about that for a minute. But because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. That was the reason for the verses 41 and 42 to be that way, because these people are all gathered around. Not only is Martha going to see the glory, Mary's going to see the glory, and everybody else there is going to see the glory. And some will believe and some won't. Guess what? Jews don't change much, do they?
Yeah.
Okay, 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Okay. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. They had done exactly what the Jews do when they go and bury somebody.
Yep.
But he was bound up. He was bound up in his grave clothes. It's just like, well, we'll tie him up because we don't want him getting out and running around somewhere. No, that wasn't it. It was there that all them grave clothes would be there when the next person in that family was going to use that grave, and they would just take those grave clothes and the bones and slide them on away and put another body in there. That was to prepare for another body that would be put in there sometime. That's what they had to do when they buried David in the tomb when he died. They had to move the bones down and put him in the open spot that was made there. So that's not an unusual situation. But you read the rest of 44. It said, Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. He is ready. He is ready to get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out.
He's got the rest of his life to live, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely. Then, 45, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. That was the reason that the son made sure to the father that this was coming on. And this was why. many of the Jews which came to Mary and see when Mary come out there too, then they came out and they saw the things which Jesus did, believed on him, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what thing Jesus had done. He had done another miracle. This man had done another miracle. He's healed the lame man and sent him home on the Sabbath day, and he's healed the blind man that had never have seen from his birth, and he sent him on his way, and here he is raising somebody from the dead that was truly dead. What are we going to do?
They had a problem. They had a serious problem.
Big problems. Absolutely.
What do we do?
But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Well, it kind of tells the reason for that. I'll turn the page. In the Companion Bible, we'll get to 47. And it says, then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, now, they gathered up their own council, the council of 80 or 70 or whatever.
It was 70, yeah.
Yeah, I think they started out with 80, but it wound up being 70. And said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. They said, well, what are we going to do?
They never denied that he had the power, but they wouldn't accept who he was. That tears me up.
They wouldn't accept that he was the Son of God. And he had told them, I and the Father are one. That is another foundation stone in the belief that Christ was the Son of God. Not only he could prove it by his works, regardless of what they were teaching.
Yeah.
Okay. And so these rabbis and these people that were in this council, they said, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to get around this? Well, they just got them a new high priest. It says, if we let him thus alone in verse 48, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation.
That's what they were afraid of.
Scared they were going to lose it all.
Yeah.
Because they know that they couldn't do nothing with him.
Yeah.
He's got that much power.
They wanted power and influence over the people.
Yeah.
And they knew if he kept on, the Romans were going to.
Absolutely.
Put a stop to it. Yeah.
Try to put a stop to it. And if they tried to put a stop to it, then they'd hold favor with the Romans. Well,
they've been looking for their king, their leader, to lead them against all their captors.
But when it showed up.
When it showed up, they didn't know.
They couldn't do it. Okay. And it said, and one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, hey, you know nothing at all. You just don't know. You don't know what I know. Okay. Let me get my notes changed up. So 49 says, I just read that you know nothing at all. And there's a big notation upon that. Well, it was on 47 too. They'd go to the chief priests and the Pharisees, the council, and said, what do we do? How that they had a council, the Sanhedrin was the supreme, was their supreme national court. It is a total of 70, seventy and a high priest, originating according to the rabbis, went to the elders with Moses was their head, and its sitting were heard held in the stone chambers in the temple precinct, because generally, you know, when they didn't have a temple and they had the tabernacle and they was roaming around, they didn't have a temple until David's son built the temple, because David wasn't allowed to build a temple because he had shed blood. He had killed people in battle. But they had the temple, and in the temple precincts were generally where they held their dealing with the question of the law. And the question is, what do we do? Or the answer was, something must be done. This man doth many miracles or signs. And the Greek was Simeon. And I don't think I pronounced that exactly right, but it is things that only God can control. Man can't control everything, and when man could not control it, then they had to yield to God for what they would like to have done. And then that's when we get down to 48, where it says, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. This was in the place of the nation was God's to begin with, and their place in their nation was his already, should have been, because he had given it to the ones that said they'd be as the seas of the sand, to be as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seas. And this is where we get to Caiaphas. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest the same year. Now, there's notes on that too, that he had been appointed 6 months earlier. And they were taking his advice. Saith unto them, you know nothing at all. He said, you know nothing. Oh, and there's a double negative there. I can't pronounce that word. And if you do not, mm. if you do not, you are in grass position. You do not know how critical this is. He's telling man, guys, if you don't really understand what you're up against, then you ain't got a chance to do anything with it.
Well, he was the only one of them that had a plan. The rest of them didn't have a plan.
Yeah, but now his plan was filled with a lot of untruth too.
Yeah.
So what comes on after this, you know, is, when you get up to verse 50, it says this, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and the whole nation perish not. Now, where did he get that? He knew that much that it had been said by the prophets.
Well, they had already said that if we don't do something, we're going to lose our place in our nation.
He knew that.
He said, well, then the one guy has got to die for all the people.
Yeah.
That was the plan.
And their eyes were on this guy that could do this.
Yeah, they were already probably in cahoots with the Roman. Who was it? I can't remember his name. They had, it was there when Jesus was crucified.
Yeah.
Felix, well, it wasn't Felix. I can't remember.
Pilate,
yeah.
Yeah, he was.
They were already in cahoots.
He was the governor of that little area then. Pilate, yeah. So, he said, it is in our interest that one should die for the people. Or, in the Greek, that is Laos. And the whole nation perish not. The nation is a some kind of term expressing their relationship to God. That's mentioned in Luke 7:5. And also Luke 7:23, or in Luke 23:2. And then verse 51, and it says, and he spake not for himself. And he spake he not of himself, full stop. But being high priest that year, he prophesied. So they took his word as being a prophet. Okay. The Jews regarded any cathedra, utterance of the high priest as inspired. Here, Caiaphas was used by God as Balaam was used in Numbers 22:38.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they were thinking. He was like Balaam, the ass that could talk man.
Especially when you look at verse 52. Because his prophecy was that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad.
Yeah.
That happened in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
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 They all, remember, they all, at Pentecost, they all showed up.
They all do that.
Yeah.
And so, And so Caiaphas could be used. He could be used by God or Satan, either one, probably, in that sense, because, you know, when a when a jackass could talk for mankind, well, chaos would be listed among those jackasses because he was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And then in order to keep his place and stature, yeah.
Yeah, apparently he had already prophesied that Jesus would do all these things, but they had to kill him.
Then, in verse 53, it says this. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Well, this was the way he... He could kind of restore order back the way he wanted it restored because there was a lot of people standing there that was beginning to believe that this was the savior of mankind, or at least for the nation of Israel. In order that they might kill him on some judicial pretense. The raising of Lazarus followed as it was by so many becoming believers brought the malignity of the Pharisees to a climax. It was the last of the three miracles that exasperated them, the others being those on the impotent man and on the man being born blind. So they continued to go back to the things that he had done that they couldn't get him for because he got away from them then. Now what they gonna do here? So we get down to verse 54. Verse 54 said, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. So, still wasn't the time because there's other things that had to be done. One of the things, according to them, if you're going to kill one man to save a nation, then there's another one living here that he had raised from the dead. We got to get him too.
Yeah.
And that was their idea. It says, Jesus, therefore, because of these events that were mentioned, the three events, the impotent man and the blind man, he was walking around openly. In the Greek, it was plainly. As in verse 14, no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness into a city near called Ephraim, if it is to be identified with the modern cities of over there now, it would be the city of Oprah, like Oprah Winfrey. It is about 16 miles northeast of Jerusalem, and there he continued with his disciples. So he didn't go that far away. So then we get to verse 55, and it said, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Well, I guess if you're going to do a dirty deed, you better be clean. And I thought back. I said, well, now that's kind of like Tiny, the sister, in a sense, because if she went to a new church or got in with a new group, next thing she wanted to do was to be baptized. I don't know how many times she had been baptized, because she had been with 4, 5, or 6 other different congregations around here. But when she went back to over where Jan and Marty and Tammy goes, she wanted to be baptized again and invited me to come over. And I went.
No.
And it says, then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye that he will not come to the feast? They said, well, we're here in the temple. Where do you think he's going to go?
Think he's going to show up?
For the passion. Where's he going to go? Okay. That was their thinking there.
And they had an APB out for it, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it says, now, both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment. Oh, it's a commandment. You know, we call our laws laws, but they call their law that they put forth, their group, if they voted on anything or got together and done anything in unison, it was a commandment. It was like it was coming from God. That's the way they looked at it, because they didn't know any better. They didn't know who to look to or how to look to God now to get understanding. So they call it a commandment. That if any man or anyone, I think when I listened to that, I think it could have been anyone. I think if some woman had known Christ.
Oh, they probably wasn't picky about where they got the information. Long they knew where he was.
Oh, just if anyone
knew
or got to know. And that word there is gnosko, and it's at 133 II. Know where he was, that he should show or disclose, and that disclose is kind of a funny name too. When I wrote it down, this can't be right. But in the Greek, if you disclose something that is menu of, like you open a menu and close it back up, it's a menu of they got from it what they wanted to put forth. Okay. If they might take him or arrest him, and arrest him in the Greek is the word zotazo, B-A-E-Z-O, that they might arrest him. They wanted, they didn't say they would talk, just talking here. You realize that they come to a different kind of a thought here.
They have a plan now.
Yeah. They've gotten far enough along with their little gathering there. They've come up with some sort of plan and said, well, he's got away from us and he's got away from us and he's got away from us. And how are we going to keep him here? How are we going to be able to arrest him and keep him?
Yeah.
Well, that was what one of the guys that was brought and crucified later. When he said, if you are the Son of God.
That was one of the first two.
In the life.
Remember he said one of the malefactors railed on him, but the other said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yeah, okay.
And then the thieves were brought later than that.
Okay.
After the party.
Oh, that was
the man. Yeah.
that you said that. Yeah. So we get down there now. This is the end of, the story as to how all that kind of went over at that point. But 12 picks it up again in the first verse and it said, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and he had a meal with Jesus. And so, you know, everything seemed to be going in their favor because it was, the story is still going on. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't got there yet. But that was the point where a lot of them believed. And that, I think that belief is going to have a bearing on, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story in a sense, because now we're getting some concrete evidence as to resurrection and what it's going to be when Christ does appear. And when he has been, and when Christ is going to be appointed to come back and open the books for the Jews and judge them according to their works. Mm-hmm. And it's not belief, it's works there. It's according to what they did according to the law. Because when he put them there, there was no homes, there was no places to plant crops because it had already been established to a point. Their food was going to be the herbs of the garden. And everybody got thrown out of the garden. So they had to do something else at that point. So they was to do the work and to start another family for God there, and that then go off to great ends. So here we are. But we got to the end of that part of the story, and the rest of the story goes on. And I didn't realize that John continued that way. I had read parts of it, but I'd never just sat down and looked at the whole thing. But you need to kind of get a picture of what took place, because the things that happened to Christ was awful. And I can't say it any more than that. It was just so bad that they chose the Son of God to do that. But that was in the plan and purpose of God all the time.
Amen.
So we just have to believe it and to put our faith in the salvation, which is Christ Jesus, and him risen from the dead and seated at the Father's right hand.
Amen.
And the things that went on from there. And that will be the rest of the story. Thanks for being with me tonight. Ran over a little bit, but we was over a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah, that's all right. Thanks, Pop.